What up? This is Fan Dog from Cypress Hill. You listen to me on Sound Session.
All right, welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions. I'm Michael.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
You know, we've got the iconic multi-platinum hip-hop group Cypress Hill, who is celebrating 25 years in the music industry. Can you believe this,
That's a long time.
It makes me feel so old, but so young and so spriteful. airing tonight, we've got Cypress Hill live from Austin. And lo and behold, we have Sendog from Cypress Hill. What's going on, man?
Yo, fellas. What's up, man? I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Sendog, 25 years. That's an incredible feat. A lot of bands can't even make it a year. Here you guys are 25 years later. Can you kind of just take a moment to reflect on that 25-year process? That's incredible, man.
Yeah, it is. You know, especially, you know, we weren't like a smash hit like right out of the box when our first record came out.
Sure.
We actually had to tour like the better part of a year before Killer Man took off. And I think, you know, that served as, you know, earning your stripes and paying your dues and all that stuff. You know, we did, you know, a lot of McDonald's and Waffle Houses and hotels and all that stuff, man. Those are some of the memories that I have that really stick out in my mind because, you know, we were young, we were kids, and we didn't know anything, but, you know, we thought we had it all. You know, little did we know there was so much more to accomplish, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you mentioned the fact that, you know, in the song Rock Superstar, there's a lot of talk about saving money, and that's kind of what you did. What kind of advice can you give to an up-and-coming artist who's kind of looking towards you as an inspiration?
Well, to an up-and-coming young artist, you know, first thing I would say, if they could believe in themselves, if they could see themselves being a success and, you know, rocking the masses and signing autographs, then, you know, definitely believe in yourself. Someone has to do it, you know.
For sure.
And then once you get there and, you know, you make some good money and stack some money up, you know, you got to, you know, realize that you have to save money at the same time that you make it. And I was one of those guys that didn't really pay attention to that. You know, I bought a lot of cars and motorcycles, and, you know, I wish I had some of the money from the 90s that I, you know, blew off. I wish I had it now. So I definitely, that's some advice that I give to, you know, to young artists, and always, you know, very important to always never be swayed from what your vision is, because the artist's vision is, you know, what sells a record, you know, so.
Absolutely.
I would say to young guys, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, do you remember your first big purchase after that album went platinum?
Yeah, man. That was early, like, late 92, 93. I bought, like, this great big old Chevy Suburban, and I lifted it up 4x4.
Yeah.
And put a rack lights on top. And used to go out and take it out in the mountains and, you
Woo!
Know, drive the heck out of it. And
nice.
My first check was for $35,000, and that truck cost me $33,000.
Wow.
Money well spent, though.
Yeah, I'd say so. So
I had a badass truck, brother. That's all I can say about that.
Right on.
So, Sendog, 25 years, you reflecting back, looking at over all those years, what do you think you're most proud of in that span, whether it be a show or a certain song or whatever? What are you most proud of in your career?
I think overall what I'm most proud of is that we remained a band through all circumstances and changes, and that we remain friends. Like, you know, Be Real is like still my little brother to him, and I'm still like the older brother to him, you know. And the fact that, you know, this business that we're in, you know, could shred apart even blood relations. You
for
know,
sure.
Here we are still, you know, still bros, as, you know, from the day we met when we were like teenagers, you know. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, aside from all the accomplishments, record sales, tours.
Yeah.
The fact that we're still, you know, treat each other as human beings and as brothers, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you still get nerves, you know, after all this time when you're getting up on stage before you start playing? Do you guys still get a little nervous?
No, you know, I the nerve thing has kind of like gone out the window. I remember the last time I was really nervous, we were on a Monsters of Rock tour with like Monster Magnet, Biohazard. I mean, there was just a bunch of, you know, heavy metal bands on there, and Metallica was headlining, and they had us going right before Metallica.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That was nervous.
For sure.
You know,
other than that, I don't really get too much nervous anymore.
Right on, right on. And, you know, that's really interesting you mentioned that, that you are, you're like one of the only rap bands that could kind of be incorporated in like a heavy metal scene. I listened to back to a few of your interviews over the years, and you mentioned the fact that it was very important to you to add guitars, add like this kind of grimy sound to your music. Do you see yourself doing some more of that with like maybe some new music, or what was that draw of that kind of just gritty rock and roll sound that you wanted to put into Cypress Hill's music?
Well, dude, I'll tell you what, man. One of my favorite album collaborations of all time is the one record that we did, we got to record with Pearl Jam and Sonic Youth.
Very cool.
The name of the group chased me right now, but I'm seeing that some speak. Give me just a second.
Yeah, no problem. Take your time.
Okay, bro. It's Judgment Night. The Judgment Night soundtrack. Sorry, I'm a stoner. I
guess. All good, all good.
But the Judgment Night soundtrack really, like, gave me a vision of what could be, you know. And then prior to that, listening, you know, watching what Anthrax had did with Public Enemy back in the days of Bring the Noise.
Yeah,
was always, you know, was always really, really cool to me. And then we go back further than that to the Beastie Boys' first album, and it's like full of Led Zeppelin samples, which was way cool. And then, you know, Run DMC, who came out of the box almost, you know, with guitars. And the first time I saw Run DMC was on a TV show, and they had, like, a live band play. And ever since then, I was like, I didn't know I wanted to do that, you know what I mean? But I liked it. Not having money to buy, you know, guitars and amps and drums, I settled into a hip-hop thing. But once we got really experimental with Cypress, I think that was the opening to the door of the experimental era with Cypress. Is like, from then on, we were just like, we didn't care. We just tried everything.
That's awesome. I think another thing that's really cool to your sound, and it seems to be a dying breed these days, you guys have DJ Muggs up there with you. You have a real DJ on stage making the sound. I've seen some hip-hop acts before. It feels like they just get up there and push play on an iPod and rap over it. You know, how important is DJ Muggs to the sound?
Well, you know, yeah, Muggs was, you know, very instrumental in him being the producer of our sound. And then, you know, he stopped touring with us about 8 or 9 years ago, and now we have DJ Julio G. He's actually our first DJ from high school days, and the guy that introduced us. So having a DJ that actually part of the show is like very vital, because it's one of the elements of hip hop. You know, you have break dancing, you got graffiti, you got your MCs and DJing, you know, it's all part of the main elements of what is the culture of hip hop. And I think that, you know, it's not a dying breed, but it's just there's not that many cats that could pull that off, like say DJ Muggs or Julio.
For sure.
You know, but they come from that era of before we had, you know, computers up there on the DJ stand and all that stuff. These guys are actually spinning new records back and forth, creating a loop for us guys to rap to. So whatever they're doing now is easy to them. But I think that, you know, that makes it gives us that band, hip-hop band, in the essence of what is a hip-hop band, along with Eric Vogel on percussion.
Yeah.
It gives it a live, you know, feel to what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, you've played with a lot of people, you've done a lot of stuff and made a lot of connections through the music industry. But, you know, a theme that comes up here on Sound Sessions is the thought of family. You know, like a band is like your family. How important was it to get surrounded by the right type of people? And did you have like other people in the band at the beginning that you needed to kind of just oust because they were a negative energy? Or were you always just tight with this crew that you had here with Cypress Hill?
Well, before Be Real was part of whatever I was doing with Muggs or whatever, my brother Mellow Man Ace was in the group, but he wasn't Mellow Man back then. He called him Ace Cool.
Yeah.
And he eventually left to go solo and find the Delicious Vinyl, who was really after him. And then Be Real came in, and then, you know, from then on, that's, you know, when that was like 88, you know, we first started doing songs that under Cypress Hill name, you know, and we didn't have any hard feelings towards Mellow, even though he had a lot of success or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were proud for him, we just knew that we had to march on. If we're going to get somewhere, we have to do something. And, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people is vital. And nowadays, you know, you have to sniff these people out right away. When we first started, there wasn't just a ton of people trying to capitalize on artists like there is today.
Yeah.
You know, and so people that you would meet, you were able to tell right away, hey, I want to roll with this person or I don't. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Joe the Butcher Nicolo and Chris Schwartz from Rough House Records, who, you know, basically believed in us 100% and said, they just recorded us and said, do whatever you want, say whatever you want.
So cool.
And, you know, because we had offers from, like, other labels that didn't want us to rap about weed, they didn't want us to rap about violence or, you know, or say any, like, you say nigga in the songs or anything like that. So we were just, like, they were offering a lot of money, but I thought, you know, this lesser deal with Rough House Records is more valuable because our creative, you know, our creativeness is not going to be, you know, limited. So, and having a guy like B-Real in the band, I knew that this guy has a lot to say.
Yeah.
So we took the deal that we thought was best for us. And it,
good for
it
you.
It ended up being a great deal because it ended up being up on Sony. Sony would pick us up after Rough House, you know, blew us up. And, you know, that was the start of a life, you know?
Yeah, man. Good for you guys. That's awesome. I have a like kind of a two-part question here for you. Who are you listening to today that is like you're kind of impressed by or you're into? And then also, do you have like any guilty pleasures in music, like a Miley Cyrus maybe or something like that?
My guilty pleasure in music is and has been for a long time Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Hey, all right,
mm-hmm. Not too bad.
Man enough to admit it too.
I mean, the fact that she's real easy to look at helps. You know?
Sure. What about what about who you're listening to today, whether it be hip-hop, metal, rock, anything? Who are you kind of, like, impressed by coming up right now?
Right now, lately, well, to tell you the honest truth, I've been listening to a lot of, like, classic metal stuff.
Cool.
Like Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Like Sabbath, you know, some Led Zeppelin stuff, you know, even some classic Van Halen in there. As far as, like hip-hop stuff, like, I dig that kid, J. Cole, and I like Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of like stay listening to my all-time favorites. Of course, you know, Eminem,
okay.
Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, you know.
Yeah.
Those guys. But it's kind of like I kind of go in modes, like, depending on how I feel that day. And, like, these last few days, I've just been, like, on a metal trip and
mm-hmm.
listening to, like, Metallica and Megadeth and,
awesome.
You know, Meshuggah.
Heck yeah.
Slayer.
Yeah, well, speaking of Slayer, I was surprised to learn that your buddies with the drummer from Slayer, Dave Lombardo. You guys went to high school together?
Yeah, man. Actually, we had a couple classes together. And
how funny!
Actually, he was a very intelligent guy. As a matter of fact, yeah.
Really?
Let me beat off his test papers a couple times.
Nice.
In science class, and he was one of the, you know, big influences for Cypress because right out like a year out of high school, Slayer was on tour. I think they were signed to Rick Rubin's label or whatever. And his girlfriend lived our block on Cypress Avenue. So he would come home from tour and he would hear us rapping in front of my mom's house, you know, hitting like beats on a trash can lid or whatever. And
yeah,
he would come down and be like, fuck, you guys sound good, man. Keep it going. And
that's awesome.
He took that as like, wow, the dude from Slayer thinks we're cool, man. Yeah, you know, it was either that or he wanted to come by and get high real quick.
Some high praise.
Yeah, but at one point or another, some teacher had a member of Cypress Hill and a member of Slayer in her classroom.
That's wild. Jeez.
That's pretty sick. When we think of, and we're both Cubans, so it even gets even tighter there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, I see... kind of a common thread that goes through a lot of your music, which leads me to this next question. You know, Snoop Dogg and Whoopi Goldberg both have their own strands of weed, and I was just wondering, are you going to ever take the entrepreneurial route, and are we going to see a Cypress Hill strand of weed one of these days?
Yeah, that's actually something that we're planning, and you know, I'm actually not supposed to talk a whole lot about this area right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plans in the works. You know, we just wait. Cypress has always been waiting for the right situation to come along because we didn't want it to be something that's here now and possibly gone, you know, a couple of years later or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that when we put up, it's going to stand, you know, forever, you know.
Absolutely. Just like the band, 25-year anniversary. I mean, can you even believe that you're here for after 25 years, still making music, still doing what you love? Could you see yourself doing anything else in the entire world?
Well, you know, if I had to, you know, everybody's got to eat.
True.
You know, no, I couldn't. We never imagined this. You know, we at Offset, when we started, we thought we'd maybe be around 7 or 8 years and do 2 or 3 albums. And we thought people wouldn't like our music because it was too underground hip hop. And you know, shit, we were wrong. You know, we're coming up on 10 records and girls love the band and support it and stuff. And we're 25, so that's supposed to show how much we use.
Yeah, many congrats, man. Good for you guys. And before we wrap it up here, I just want to, you know, with the NFL season almost upon us, I understand you're a big guy in the Raiders Nation. How you liking the outlooks for the Raiders this year?
I definitely like the moves they've made to, you know, to bring in players, and because we were stuck in some bad contracts for a lot of years, paying guys that weren't even on the team. So, but I think that they're getting better, and hopefully, you know, we see a playoff year this year, which I think is, you know, totally in their grasp if, you know, they just, you know, Raider football.
I think so.
And I think we may be going to a playoff game here, hopefully, this year.
Best of luck to you guys. I know that the Bears might not have that in our future this year, but, you know, it's been the trend for the past 8 years or so.
Oh, man, I got to give props to the Chicago Bears. They had me on the field before for a game.
That's awesome.
And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. I got to watch all the warm-ups and stuff like that, so much props to the Chicago Bears.
Super
too,
cool.
Definitely Raider fan.
And then one more thing. Speaking of Chicago and Chicago Bear, are there any like Chicago favorites you have when you come to the city? Anything you got to do while you're here?
Yeah, I like Harry Carey's restaurant.
Okay.
I like to hit that place, and you know, the House of Blues is always one of my favorite venues. I like when I'm not performing there, and there's a cool band playing there. I've been known to go down there and check them out.
Nice.
You know, and yeah, man. Overall, like pretty much like it over there. Period. You know. It's not like before. You guys have really, really great weed there now.
Right.
I don't know if I should have said that or not.
No, you're all right.
I was there. I Lollapalooza with Diane Ward.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I got to first time doing Lollapalooza as like someone's guest. So that was really fun. Hopefully you get to, you know, hit Lala again soon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. I was at that Diane Ward show too. It was so solid. I mean, did you have a good time at Lollapalooza? It sounds like you're a fan of Chicago, which is great.
Yeah, man. I mean, Lollapalooza to me, when we first did it, was a national tour. And if there's any one city that you could just say, hey, man, this is a great city to throw it in, I guess it would be Chicago with the great venue that they have there. You know what I mean? So, you know, and then I got a bunch of friends now, you know, through the years, you know, that I've met and hang out with over there. So it's kind of like I'm visiting family when I'm there, hanging out with bros and stuff. So
you know,
it's kind of like a home away from home. I try to stay away from the winter, of course, but,
sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, man, Chi-Town's the shit.
Absolutely. Well, when you are back in Chicago, make sure you come down to WGN Radio. We'd love to hang out with you. Sendog, it was fantastic talking to you. Make sure you check them out. They're going to be actually streaming live tonight, live from Austin. Cypress Hill is playing, celebrating 25 years in the music industry.
Congrats.
Sendog, thank you so much for joining us today on Sound Sessions.
Hey, man, thank you for having me, and definitely we'll come in studio with you guys when I get there again, man. I'll definitely come hang with you guys.
Thanks again for joining us.
All right, brothers. Thank you, man. So you want to be a rock superstar and live large, your big house, 5 cars, your red charge, coming up in the world. Don't trust nobody, got a look over your shoulder, cause you need to be a rock superstar and live large, your big house.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod. And check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.